Well, we learned last week that there are three things that you need to do in order to not get turned down. And they are, you must play the right part at the right time with the right sound. But what happens if you think that the wrong part is the right part and the wrong sound is the right sound? And then when you get together and it's not working, you end up spending thousands of dollars on sound equipment just to make the wrong part sound right to you, all the while being turned off at the soundboard by a sound person who's never going to tell you that that's what they're doing. Well, that would actually describe most every church in the developed world. So let's try and fix it. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. My name is Stephen Reed. I am the co-founder and part of the team here at Music Ministry. We are a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to helping music and ministers do whatever it is that God's called them to do. And so we have all kinds of free resources. That's the nonprofit part of the nonprofit organization at musicandministry.co. Why not .com? Because .co was cheaper and more trendy at the time. And now, you know, who knows? We've built a whole website full of articles, information, videos, podcasts, tech casts. We even have some books that are there that you can read and lots of different subjects because worship leading involves understanding the theology of it, understanding the leadership aspect of it, and then today we're taking this big dive into the musical aspect of it. And so always feel obligated to make sure that we understand the whole picture of what it is that we're trying to do, because sometimes you can get down in the weeds and you get lost in, man, I got to play this tune and do all of these things. But we're really talking about today how to not get turned down. And that's for yourself, and that's for setting your team up for success. Because it's really about being a good steward of our time and our energy. And just like me, when it happened to me, nobody wants to spend all this time practicing and then it ultimately be for no good because we can't get these other things figured out. And so I feel like the Lord showed me a lot of things about them. That's why I'm making these things and have committed to, you know, sharing what it is that we felt like we're supposed to share. And so thanks for being here and being part of the journey. And so again, last week, we talked a lot about six reasons why you are possibly stuck, or maybe you don't know what the right part and the right time and the right sound is. And so we're going to review those just for a moment. But these episodes basically are anticipating that you have listened to the previous week. So if you're brand new here, just take a minute and go listen to the last one. Otherwise, you might be a little confused. And for those of the rest of you who maybe just need a fresh reminder, those six things are going to be number one, pride, which just basically says, hey, I'm already awesome and want to project how awesome I am to other people. Number two is going to be well-meaning ignorance, meaning you just don't know what you don't know. I could do it. I would do it. I'm willing to do it. I just don't know how to do it. All right. Number three is going to be what we're going to talk a lot about today, which is bad systems. And bad systems is anything that makes a good musician make a bad decision or makes it difficult for good musicians to make good decisions. All right. Number four is going to be deception. And unfortunately, there's quite a bit of that here in our Christianism. And so churches doing it as well as the industry. And so recordings aren't real. They've never been real. And we're trying to base what we're doing on those things. We talk a lot about it before. We're going to talk about it a lot in the future because it has massive implications on the systems that we choose and the ignorance that we're in because we're being told that something is something that it isn't. And then sometimes we pass it along, as we'll discuss today, some deception. Why isn't the sound person telling you what's happening? Because they don't want to deal with your pride. All right. And a bad system created it. So let's get all those things figured out. And that's only four of them. Number five is going to be a current inability. And so sometimes we're just not as good as we want to be, but we could get there. We just need to practice, or we need a supernatural impartation. And then ultimately, there are some things that we just can't do as humans because we're not machines. And so we have to factor that in. If we're going to use humans, we need to create systems that will allow humans to do it because we can't do what computers do. That's why we have them. Number six is the last one. It's a very strong one, though, and that is willingness. Because if you don't want to do something, then you're not going to do it. And the famous quote is going to be, if there's a will, there's a way. And that is very true. If there is not a will, there is not a way. So why all the categorization? Why having them all set out? It's because each one is treated differently. And sometimes if you don't recognize what the real problem is, you're going to think, oh, we just need to practice more. And if you've got a bad system, well, it doesn't matter how much that you practice, because the bad system has doomed you from the beginning, and it's just not going to work because it doesn't work. All right. And also, if you're unwilling, it doesn't matter how much of the rest of that you got figured out. You're just unwilling. So you got to work on that unwillingness, and then you can do the other parts. So as we get started today, I'm going to walk you through like just the normal average. This is how most everybody does it. Preparing for whatever your ministry meeting is, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, a Sunday night, a Tuesday night, a Thursday morning, whatever it is that you guys do. And so first thing that you got to do is figure out who's going to be on my team. And this is a major point of whether or not you're going to set people up for success, or if they're going to be turned down and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Because if you put the wrong people on your team, or the wrong kind of people, not personality wise, but just as far as what they play, you're going to run into troubles. And we can avoid those troubles here at the beginning. And so I feel like as I point all these things out in this process, that it could potentially be overwhelming. And it's kind of like those closets or drawers in your life or in your house. We're here in my house in Franklin, Tennessee. And I've got a closet that's just right over back over there. And that's where we keep all of our school stuff for our boys. And when I open it up, every time I open it up, I say, man, I really need to clean this thing. But I'm going to grab whatever it is I need out, and then I close the door, and then I don't think about it that much, and then just kind of go on with life. Some of these are going to be like that. And I've got a junk drawer over there in my kitchen, and I have tried to live without a junk drawer, but you can't do it. I'm just going to say, I can't do it. I gave it a valiant effort. If you can, you know, write a book, make a podcast, maybe we'll all listen to it and it will change our lives. But so we're going to open up some doors that are going to be like, oh, that needs some work. All right. And I understand that, but we're here to help you. And I'm not going to overwhelm you. I'm hopefully just going to say, hey, let's at some point pay attention to this, because this is in some way determining our future, and it's making it difficult for our good musicians or our mediocre musicians to make good decisions, because we're putting them in a bad situation, or we're putting ourselves into a bad situation. And so that number one thing is, who's on your team? And sometimes you're the worship leader, you get to choose who's on your team. And sometimes you're the participant and you don't get to choose. And so I would sometimes get, you know, the notification from Planning Center, you've been scheduled, or a good old fashioned text or whatever it would be. You know, good old fashioned might be like a carrier pigeon or a letter in the mail. That, who's done that? I don't know. But that would be an awesome way to communicate. That system of communication means a lot. And so if you have two rhythm players, well, you're going to be duplicating sound. Or if you've got two melody players, how are they going to decide what's going to happen? And so we want to make sure that we're putting the right kind of people together on the team. And some people have ability to change that. Some people, it's just like, man, you're on the team and that's what it is. But when you get that list, if you don't have control over who's on that list, you then got to determine, okay, who is that person? How do they play? What do they play? And then what are we missing? And that will lead us then to the next part. And so I would sometimes get scheduled for an acoustic guitar, and I was going to be playing, and I looked to see who the keyboard player is, and I was like, well, I got a low chance of being heard this Sunday. Why? Because we had a very busy keyboard player. And so they would play all of the parts. They were playing the wrong part at the wrong time with the wrong sound. And then I didn't have any room to play. And so even if I played the right part at the right time with the right sound, wasn't going to work, because we are doing this as a team, not as an individual. And so a lot can be given, time can be given to that. And we're going to close that door and just say, hey, let's clean that up later. All right. The next thing is going to be, how are we going to choose how we're going to play the song, or what are we basing that information on? And so most of the time, you're going to be handed a piece of paper that has a chord chart of some sort, and you will be given a MP3, or possibly we used to be given CDs, remember those days? And or you will be given a YouTube link or some other video platform that will have something, a recording of some type. And that is a huge, huge moment where we need to just say, man, that needs a lot of help, because recording is not the same as live. And I cannot tell that. I cannot scream that loud enough. If you don't understand that, don't think that, then you are setting a course for the rest of your team, for yourself to be turned down. And the unfortunate aspect of that system, which is the norm, and I realize I'm describing, this is what everybody does. Here's the recording. Learn your part. All right. Even if you learn your part perfectly and you can play it perfectly, exactly like the recording, guaranteed 2 to 3 members of your team will be turned off. Maybe not turned off at the soundboard, but they won't be able to be heard in the auditorium or wherever it is that you're meeting, because live sound is not the same as recorded sound. We are not machines. We aren't using the same tools. It's just different. And so you need to recognize what those differences are and have a system to then adapt those recordings to how we're going to do them live. And again, that's a closet door, a garage door, or an old shed door of just like, yeah, that's going to take a bunch of work. Okay, we're just going to close that door right now. All right. And so what I would do as a guitar player with my little pathetic chord chart, all right, is that I would say, well, there's the lyrics to the song. If I was singing, man, that can be very helpful. Those are the lyrics to the song. There's the chords. Well, that gives me something, but chord charts do absolutely nothing for electric guitar players. They do basically nothing for drums, or most of the time, not much for piano players. Bass players, yeah, a little bit, but there's a whole lot of things that can be different. And so, you know, I'll use one of my songs, if nothing else, just to avoid copyright issues. And so if I were to get my chord chart, and it's a song that we use all the time, and it's in C, my guitar is tuned down, so if you're playing along at home, it won't quite sound the same. But the chord chart says it starts off in C, and so most everybody would pick up their guitar and be like, well, there's C. But there are lots of different ways to play C, and on the recording, that's not how it's played. And so if I pick it up, the system of communication's pretty bad, and I'm just going to listen to the recording, and I'm going to go... And then there's a problem even with that, because if you listen to the recording, there's not an acoustic guitar on the song at all. But I've been scheduled, and so I'm up there, I've got an acoustic guitar in my hand, the song has begun, and just like almost every member of a praise and worship team in the developing world, and even probably in the undeveloped world, if the song has begun, you have begun playing as well, because we as worship musicians are really bad at waiting to come in or staying out for entire songs. And so we're going to pick it up, and that's what 99% of most guitar players are going to do. They're going to play this C, and they're going to start playing along with the song. And so it's going to follow the chord chart, and you're going to go, because you make the blindness see, the lame to leap, the heart of every man be free. This G, or maybe this G, and then A minor, to see the wonder of your majesty, and it'll go to F. Now that's a bar chord. That's a big stretch for a lot of acoustic guitar players. They may or may not do that, and so they're going to go and they're going to play this version of F, which is technically not F. It's F inverted. So we're putting the three on the bottom. That's a lot of musical jargon you may or may not understand, but that's the one they're going to play because that's what people do. So I'm going to play along with the recording, and I'm going to do whatever it is that I feel like sounds right. And so the more that I do that, and even the more that I play it by myself and sing along, you make the blind to see, the lame to leap, the heart of every man be free, to see the wonder of your majesty. Now, if I come to church with my acoustic guitar, and maybe I bring my little acoustic guitar amp, which I love so much, and I plug into the system, guess what's going to happen? You may think, well, it should sound pretty good because that didn't sound too bad on its own. Well, I'm actually not going to be able to hear myself. Yeah, because I'm playing the wrong part in time, and I'm essentially, it's the wrong sound, because on the recording, there's no acoustic guitar. And even if there was acoustic guitar, that wouldn't be the part that would be playing because it wouldn't work well together. All right. Now, I could potentially play the electric part, which I sometimes do. But if there's an electric guitar player, well, then they're going to be playing that part. And so what's going to happen? Because I'm doing things that are other people's parts, that means that either it's going to not work together because I'm going to be slightly off from them, or you're not going to be able to hear me. And so whether or not the sound person actually has turned me down or not, you can't hear me in the auditorium because I'm playing the same thing as other people. So what we have there is going to be the wrong system. So there's sometimes we've got incomplete systems, sometimes we've got broken systems, sometimes we have imaginary systems we'll talk about in a minute. But this would be an example of the wrong system. If I was playing the song by myself, which I am currently, then yes, that's the right part. because I don't have an electric guitar player, I don't have a keyboard player, I don't have a drum, and so I got to play what I think sounds good. My problem is that I'm figuring out what I'm going to play on my own. And so that's an example of a limited system, meaning that your success as a worship team will be based on each and every person's ability to figure out what to play without talking to anybody else on their team. And hopefully you can see that's not necessarily a great system. And so that's the system that we all use, or primarily use, and I say most use, because there are quite a few other churches and organizations where they have taken a level up in that and have said, hey, you can't just play whatever it is you want. We are going to assign you a part. And so instead of just giving you a blank chord chart, they actually give you the tablature of, hey, this is exactly your part, or they would send you the multi-track, say, we want you to play exactly this. And they will also sometimes specify what kind of guitar you're going to play, what kind of tone you're going to use, what kind of cymbals you're going to bring, what patch on the keyboard you're going to use. They're not leaving that up to the individual person to figure out, because it's a lot to ask from our musicians to not only figure out what the right part is, but also to figure out what the right sound is. And so happens all the time. Keyboard players, classically trained piano players do not know how to tune their own piano. They do not know how to work keyboards very well. And so if we say, hey, keyboard player, you're in charge of the keyboard sounds, we've just limited ourselves, because that is not a skill that they usually have. That would be a current inability. And so is there another way that we could have somebody create the sounds or get the sounds from somebody else, and then all they have to do in is walk in and push setting number one, and then they play the part and they can do it perfectly, the right part in the right time with somebody else who set up the right sound? Hey, we just created a system that provides success for our people. And so if I was in charge of this song, I would say, hey, we have no electric player. Steve, I want you to play the electric guitar part, and this is where you play it. And on this particular song, we have done the tablature and we have done drum notation and all kinds of stuff. And so I could send them that information and say, hey, I want you to play this C. Now, many of you don't know the C, but this is like an F only brought all the way up here. And you're actually only playing this one note. And then the lead line goes. Well, that sounds a whole lot different than. Because here I'm playing the chords and the melody, and here I just want you to just play the melody. And we've got chords happening from other people. I am choosing the orchestration, I'm leading the orchestration, to where then when you show up, and then the next part of that song, and this is what I play on the electric guitar, is one note, one string, one and two and three and four and one and two eighth notes the entire time. And I don't even follow the chord progression. This is my part, pretty much the entire verses. And so we let the keyboard player, we let the bass player make the chord changes, and I'm just going to play this C, this singular note, the whole time. And that's the right part in the right time, with not exactly the right sound because we're playing it on acoustic instead of electric, but we would listen to it and say, hey, does that sound good? Does it not sound good? All right, now during the chorus, I'm not going to play this version of C. I'm going to play a bar chord version of C, or a power chord version, and I'm going to go all downstroke. So, and then when I go to G, I'm not going to go to this version of G. I'm actually going to go up to this version of G here, which is like a D, only brought up. And so it has a very particular sound, because instead of going down to a chord, we're going to go up to a chord. It has a different sound. And again, all of these things, I'm telling that person, hey, that's what I want you to play. So then, the lane to lead, the heart of every man be free to see the wonder. That's our A minor instead of this A minor, of your majesty. And then you get this little thing here. And that's it. All the other fills and frilly stuff is done by somebody else. All right, so that would create the right part at the right time with the right sound. And then we're limited by my ability to perform those things. Certainly, But we are hopefully setting ourselves up for success for everybody to be able to be heard. The other thing I would not schedule would be another acoustic guitar player. Or, again, I would not have the electric player play that and the acoustic guitar player play that because you're not going to hear one of us. All right, that's a lot to take in. But we haven't even really got started because the most important part is going to be what happens when we all come together. And I've been practicing all week. I've been practicing the wrong thing all week and I've got it down and it's sounding good. I'm playing the wrong part and at the right time with the wrong sound and I think it sounds amazing. And so maybe my wife says, hey man, it's really sounding good. I'm excited for this Sunday. Well, I bring it and I can't be heard. And why? Because I'm not playing the right part and not with the right sound. And so what we do in that moment will dramatically determine whether or not we're going to have success. Because these other bad systems and wrong systems, incomplete systems, can be fixed in the moment. If we get there and we're like, ah, man, that didn't work. And you might be frustrated, like, man, I practiced all week and that's not working. Well, you can still make adjustments and make it happen if you don't decide to do what most people do, which is to have individualized monitors that are controlled by the person who is playing the instrument. And that should describe and probably describes a vast majority of musicians. And so rather than fixing our wrong part, we have too much confidence in our wrong part. And so we change our system. We change the reality of it. And so what happens is then I do whatever it takes technologically to make my wrong part sound right to me. And everybody else is doing the same thing. And so I'm still playing the same thing. And to me, it sounds good. But what isn't working, I will turn off. And so most everybody basically is living in virtual reality. And so I'm created a virtual reality where I'm not listening to the electric guitar player because he's playing my part and I don't like it. Like, no, that what you're doing, I don't like. Or maybe I don't like what the keyboard's playing because it's all real busy and I'm just like, it's making it not sound good. And so I've turned them off. Now, if you go over to the keyboard player, they might even have turned me off. They're just like, man, like whose guitar player is so crazy? Why is he on our team? And they're turning I'm off and theirs. And so then we've got the drummer who might be listening to some of the instrumentalists and maybe the main vocal, but they're not listening to the other vocalist or they're not listening to the bass player. And so we have this whole team of people who are not on the same team. We're all in our own version of a team. And so in that environment, we can't possibly make good decisions because our own pride, our ignorance, and our practicing in the wrong way with the wrong system has created this system where we cannot tell what the right part is anymore. And so I implore you, I beg you, I will do whatever it is that I can do to help you understand that this is a critical moment where you must do whatever it takes to create a system where the right part sounds right and the wrong part sounds wrong. Because if you don't, you have no chance of making an adjustment. Now, if you just went and like pulled everybody's monitors and said, nope, we're not going to do it. We're only going to listen to the mains. Or there's a lot of ways that you can do it. It is going to be utter chaos because nobody has developed the skills to then fix those problems when we come together because we're just masking it all with our virtual reality. And so I say that, hey, we need to fix that. Yes, we need to fix the system, but we've got to figure out how to then actually fix our problems, which was then either earlier down in the timeline of putting the right people on our team at the right time, telling them, helping them know what it is that they're supposed to play, helping them with their gear, knowing what to do. Or when we get there, there has to be a system of adjustments where we say, hey, let's play. How does that work? Is it sounding good? Is that working? And most churches do not have that system in place. It would be a system of communication. And so it's people and it's positions that we will talk about. And one of those positions is the sound person. And they usually have all the responsibility and no authority. Most every sound person doesn't get to stop and say, hey, that's not really sounding very good. Can we do something different right there? That would be an insult. And most people take it as an insult, again, because they've created a virtual reality where their wrong part sounds right to them and they have a lot of pride about it. And so they don't receive that kind of feedback and information as, oh, hey, he's just trying to help us. They're like, what does that guy know? Like, this is awesome. I'm being awesome. And so we just opened a bunch of closets and garages and old sheds and said, hey, we need to fix all of these things. But I'm telling you, we will walk you through all of them. And enjoy us next week. We will dive into some more of these topics to get you the answers that you need to be as awesome as God has called you to be. All right, until next time.